the moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Walk home in my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you.
Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part, oh how I'll love you. Together, together, that's how it must be. To live without you would only mean heartbreak for you.
The Egg in Albany, New York is welcoming the legendary Dionne Warwick to celebrate the last chance to enjoy the Egg in its current state before they temporarily close for renovations this summer. Dionne Warwick is a six-time Grammy Award-winning artist, philanthropist, and changemaker who will be performing at 8 p.m. on June 20th. She has sold over 100 million records. Her chart-topping hits include Walk On By, Say a Little Prayer, Alfie, Heartbreaker, Deja Vu, among countless others. The Capital Region Jubilee Ensemble, comprised of music ministers and singers from the Metropolitan NTM Baptist Church and the Sweet Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church of Albany, will open the show. It is such an honor to welcome Dionne Warwick to the roundtable this morning. It's very exciting to have you here. It's an exciting event for the Egg, and it's an exciting event for the city. I'm curious as to what do you look for? I assume you can travel whenever you want to, right about now at this point in your life. Of what gets you out to want to do this?
I enjoy what I do. And apparently, wherever I go, and the bodies are in the seats, and let's enjoy what I do as well.
Was there ever a point where you were not in that mindset, or have for the longevity of your career felt that this is, you're exactly where you wanted to be?
Yes, of course. Time when there was a little thing called disco music, and radio stations were literally performing only that kind of music. Is something I knew that I could not and would never want to do. And as far as I was concerned, there was one woman that owned disco. She was the queen of disco, and that was Donna Summers.
Right.
And I just felt that that's her domain, and I have no reason to step into it.
Did you take a pause at that point and just sort of wait to see what was going to happen? Because it certainly wasn't very long after that, in the 80s, when you just took over the charts.
Yeah, well, it got to the point where I did take periods of time during that period of time with my babies. I was mommy, which was wonderful. I had time to stay at home and do the things that mothers do with their children. It was a joy. Literally, I could have a vacation from the industry. And finally recorded again when everything calmed down disco-wise. And I guess people say, okay, let's see what's happening other than disco.
Do you look back at disco now with the same feeling and think, oh, maybe it got a bad rap at the time, or do you still think it was an unfortunate musical time?
No, I don't think it was unfortunate. It was a time where it had to happen. You know, music changes every 10, 15 years. And, I mean, look at what we're going through now.
Yeah.
Rap. So, you know, you just have to go with the flow.
But so many people now, even people in rap, will cite you as a great influence. And I'm wondering how you process that. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means that their ears, as I told them ages ago, when I confronted a lot of them, you know, when they jumped into that gangster rap stuff.
Yeah.
I told them that their ears were going to grow up, and so were they. And their choices and their music is going to also change. And fortunately, they started listening to other music. And, you know, I feel quite flattered that they found my music to be appealing to them.
You go back to the, of course, early 1960s when you were releasing your first solo single and Don't Make Me Over, I believe. And what was it like to have your first hit, of to be out and to say, okay, this is me, this is the music I want to do?
It was amazing. I think the three of us, Bert Howe and myself, all kinds of, we have a hit record. And especially Don't Make Me Over, which is not the easiest songs to understand or listen to. And at my age especially, even Bert has told me, he's a woman, to bring out a woman's issue and take command of it. I said, oh, okay. And until I got older and understood what I've been singing, I said, you know, he was absolutely right. It was the beginning of a woman's issue. And women started listening to Don't Make Me Over. Started taking advantage of the words I was saying.
Don't make me over.
And that Don't Make Me Over, I mean, that obviously has great meaning, even something you said to Burt Bacharach and Hal David at the time. You're fine doing what you're doing.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that has been very much a mantra for you throughout your career.
Yeah, I'm Dion all the time. Ask any of my friends. They'll say, if you want the truth, ask Dion.
When a song like Walk On By goes in 64 and is an international hit, you have so many moments where your career just went off the charts, but that really seems that was the time where it solidified your career and that a song that you were not going to get away from. And what was it about Walk On By that was so special and something that remained on the charts for so long?
You know, Walk On By, you know, it takes on however you're feeling that day. You know, it was a case of, in my case, when I recorded it, I was a youngster. And, you know, telling guys, hey, okay, walk on by. And so I'm not sure of how it affected most people, but apparently it did. And they used the phrase, walk on by, many times.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by, walk on by, make believe that you don't see the tears, just let me grieve in private, cause each time I see you, I break down and cry.
It's interesting, too, looking at your career that at a time where many artists were sidelined by the British invasion, I mean, your songs were on the air in the UK. They were going to number one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were. Walk On By was the song that knocked the Beatles out of number one. It was quite interesting when I ran into them and said, well, you knocked us out. I said, yeah, I did.
And that just must, I mean, it must fill you with a certain amount of confidence and pride in what you have accomplished, even at that early stage in your career.
Yes, I'm quite proud of the accomplishments that my music has made on people, the impact that it has taken, and the love of my music that most people have. You know, they tell me things that they have gone through and that this particular song of mine has made the difference in their lives. It's a wonderful feeling to know that I'm a part of smile times in people's lives.
When you went, you mentioned that disco moment, but then coming into the 1980s and then just having incredible hits, beginning with I'll Never Love This Way Again. It's really incredible to see how your albums peaked, how the singles were hits, whether it was Deja Vu or other songs. And were you able to appreciate it in a different way, even because a couple of years had passed since your initial success in the early 60s and even in the later 60s? And then suddenly, 1979 to 1989, things are just are blowing up.
It was wonderful knowing that people were appreciating great music again. You know, it's a joy when, you know, you're a part of what's going on musically. And people know that with no problems at all.
How important, and I know you have had incredible partnerships with amazing artists and have collaborated with some of the greatest singers of all time, but how important are collaborations to you and what you are able to do with them?
It's been an absolute privilege for me to be able to record with my friends, because these are people that I've known for throughout the industry, of course, but they happen to also be friends. And it makes it that much easier to record.
I mean, you think of the ultimate collaboration as being what you did with We Are the World and in 1985. And does anything of how you think of that moment of being in that room with those talents around you?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was wonderful based on the fact that I got to see a lot of people I hadn't seen in ages, unless we're running through airports at the same time and passing each other. Hey, how you doing? That kind of thing. You know, to look at that room full of that kind of talent, my God. It was a joy to be a part of that.
Were there, and maybe even today, are there songs you enjoy that you don't enjoy performing as much as you used to?
There's nothing I don't enjoy.
Because if you don't, you just don't put it in the set list, right? You don't. You're not gonna add it to the list.
No, I wish I could. You know, people ask me, why aren't you singing this and why aren't you singing that? I said, if I tried to sing everything that people wanted me to sing, I'd be on stage for the next 5 years. And I tried to put the songs that I know people have gravitated to and want me to sing and need me to sing. And every now and then I'll throw in a song that they don't know, which is something I feel that I want to sing it. And introduce them to new songs. So, you know, there's never been a time when there was a song I did not want to sing.
And songs that are so associated with you, and one of them, of course, being That's What Friends Are For, and they become anthems. They're things that take on another life, practically.
So true, and rightfully so. you know, a song like That's What Friends Are For deserves to become an anthem. It has all the bells and whistles that it's supposed to have. People have now gravitated to that song, not only for the AIDS issue, but for different reasons, for friendships, for births of babies, for weddings, and they use that song in any connotations now.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got the chance to say that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try to feel the way we do today. And then if you can remember, keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me for sure. That's what friends are for good times and bad times. I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
So let's talk about a couple of things before you come to the egg. But one of the things I want to mention, of course, and congratulate you on, is your induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was just there. I saw the tribute that they had to you and watched that incredible performance. What was that like to you to be at your stage in your career and to get that honor, which I think most artists will agree is a difficult honor and can be a slippery thing to add to the resume.
You know, it's like everything else. When I finally said, if you were there, you heard me say it, that they had me nominated twice and three strikes you out in any ball game, and they finally got it right. So I feel very honored to be now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I mean, you look at the list and you think, well, I mean, prior to that moment of what you look at the list and you go, well, where the hell is Dionne Warwick? I mean, you just belonged there.
You know, for many years, I kept saying, I don't want this award. I'm not a rock and roller. And they honored me finally for the music that I gave.
The beautiful music. Yeah. And when you go out, and you know, we were talking about collaboration before, but still recently, Earth, Wind, and Fire, right?
That's coming. Yep. We're going to do it, finally.
And how do you prepare for something like that? And you say, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Well, it's a collaboration with them. You know, we make decisions as to what it is we want to do, how we want to do it, and go on in the studio and get it done. That's how we do it.
And get it done. It's going to be a beautiful evening at the Egg, where you will be performing. The Egg is going to be closing for renovations, and yours will be the last show prior to that, and it'll just be a wonderful way to celebrate what the venue has been to the city and, of course, to celebrate you and your incredible music that have brought us so much enjoyment over the decades. Dionne Warwick, what a lovely time spending with you, and I appreciate you so much, and I look forward to seeing you when you're here in Albany.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, and look forward to meeting you as well.
Be well.
Take care, okay?
Take care of yourself.
I will.
Dionne Warwick will be performing at The Egg in Albany on June 20th at 8 p.m. You can find out more by going to theegg.org, theegg.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.